All right, brethren. Thank you, Art. Galatians chapter 5. Now, we saw here that every believer, true believer, born again of God, is a child of promise. Child of promise, saved by God's everlasting covenant promise, born again of the Spirit of God. And he says in verse 1, Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, stand fast, therefore. Maintain, defend, stand in this liberty. You and I know by nature we don't have any ability to stand. But when Christ gives the command, he gives the power. And it's by his strength that we stand. He's the master. Remember what Paul said? He's the master. He's able to make his servants stand. And he makes his people stand in liberty. Stand in liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, believer, you that are born of God, this is such a blessing to think about. You've been born into liberty. Now, we can enter into this because we're born into a free country. When you were born into this country, you were born free. You were born into liberty. You didn't do anything to make that liberty. Somebody died before you fighting wars to give you that liberty. You were born into it. But we'll fight for that liberty, won't we? We want to maintain that liberty because we love this liberty we have. Well, brethren, for a believer, it's better than that because we've been born again of the Spirit of God into the blessed liberty of God. We've been born into liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We didn't do anything to obtain this liberty. Christ fought the war. He died himself willingly to give us this liberty, and he, by his power, is going to keep his child standing in this liberty. Now, what is liberty, really? And I know this about myself, and so I know it about every believer. We just don't enter in as fully as we should. Every now and then we get glimpses. One day we're going to know it, and we do know it, but every now and then we know it, we see it, and we understand it, but we don't know this as we want to know it or as we should know it. But brethren, liberty is to be free from sin, completely free from sin. That means not just free from sin, but to be made the righteousness of God, to be as righteous as God is, to be as holy as God is, so that's how it is and that's how it'll always be. No sin can be charged to you. You'll never be charged with sin. You're free. You're free from sin. You're free from every aspect of sin. The law has nothing to say to you. God will not condemn you. He won't charge you. You're free. You're free. It means you're complete in Christ. John said, as Christ is at God's right hand, so are we in this world. And that's truly what liberty is. It's knowing that as Christ is, that's how God says I am right now in this life. Before God, where it mattered, that's how I am. God, Christ is living to God that I am too. He's right there with God. So are you, believer. He's complete. He's accepted. He's no more in this realm of sin. He's no more in the realm of death. He has eternal life. He's eternally alive. He's right there with God forever, eternally accepted. So are you, believer. If we enter into that, you talk about liberty now. That's liberty. And that's the key to everything we face in this life. Everything. It's when we forget that's when we get in trouble. That's right. First of all, this liberty is so that we're free from condemnation due to sin. Romans 8, look over there with me. I'm going to be in Romans quite a bit if you want to turn back and forth with me. But I'm going to show you something. I think these are some things that we're going to get to here that maybe you haven't considered about liberty, but I pray the Lord teach us to this today. Romans 8, verse 1, we're free from condemnation. Romans 8, 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You that have been born of God, you that are in Christ Jesus, you have no condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from it. Totally free from the law of sin and death. Free from sin, free from death. For what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak through my flesh, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be filled full in us. Not by us, not by our work, but by Christ. It's fulfilled. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled, and we're robed in that righteousness. We're in Christ our righteousness. You and I, who are born of his Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as every born-again child of God, you walk after the Spirit. You're born of him. Now, Christ purges our conscience from the guilt of sin. He purges it so that we know there's no more offering for sin. He makes you see there's no condemnation, there's no more offering. He frees you from the dead works that kept us in bondage. Our conscience now knows God will never condemn us. He'll never condemn us, and he makes you know this, and it's knowing that our old man of sin, that sin you see in you that's from your flesh, that you know is from your flesh, this freedom from condemnation and this freedom he creates in the conscience is knowing the old man in me, the old man in you, before God is dead. He's been dealt with. He's crucified. He's gone. He died at Calvary in Christ. Paul said, I am crucified in Christ. And our new man, the new man, the only reason you believe God, no man can call him Lord but by the Spirit of God. If you truly in your heart believe him and trust him, it's only because you're born of God. And if you are, you got a new man in you, a new spirit in you. And that Christ is in that new man, and that new man is in Christ, inseparably, unchangeably one with Christ. As Christ is, so are you, believer. You are righteous in Christ, holy in Christ, accepted in Christ, redeemed in Christ, justified in Christ, reconciled in Christ, forever one with Christ. That's how it is. No condemnation. Now, to make us know this and to make us continually rest in this, we had to be created anew inwardly. We had to have our conscience purged. We had to be made to see there's no condemnation. He's given us liberty by the Holy Spirit entering in and freeing us from that dominating power of our sinful nature. That sinful nature dominated us. He reigned over us. We couldn't believe God. We couldn't receive anything from God. Every man that had been born of God can sit and hear the gospel preached, and he may enter into it with his mind and understand what's being said with his mind, but he can't believe in his heart. He just can't. Because it takes God making you a new creation, completely new, and that new man is not the flesh, and that flesh is not the new man. That new man is Christ in you, one with Christ. And when he does this, brethren, you know, Paul said in Romans 6, and I encourage you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8, and read it with thinking about this right here. You know, Paul began Romans 6, and he said, somebody's going to say, well, since we're not under sin, grace is abounded, let us sin that grace may much more abound. He said, God forbid. But Paul made a statement in Romans 6, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He's not saying subjectively you ought not to live in sin, although that's true. He's saying it's an utter impossibility before God. That's what you got to be made to know. That's how the flesh is mortified. And we need to be made to know that about ourselves. We have to be made to know that about our brethren. Before God, it's impossible because we're justified. He that is dead is freed from sin. That means justified. He's freed. That word there is justified. He's justified. There's no record, past, present, or future, and shall never be a record of sin. That old sinful man has died. He's justified. Paul said, it's God keeping us knowing this in our conscience that frees us from the dominating power of our sin nature. Listen, Romans 6:14, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Here's why. Listen now carefully. You're not under the law. What sin's he talking about? Ishmael persecutes Isaac. He's born of the flesh. There's an Ishmael in you that's a full-grown self-righteous Pharisee that wants to go to the law, make himself righteous, and come to God. The only way that man's going to be mortified and that evil, horrendous sin is going to be mortified in you for you toward God and for you toward your brethren, the only way that's going to be mortified is to know you're dead. Your old man's dead. He's dead. The law has nothing to say to him. You're under grace, and so is your brethren. That's what he has to make us see. You were the servants of sin. All you were trying to do, whether you were religious or not, was you were trying to come to God by something in you. Everybody's doing that. Everybody is. People that try to claim like they don't believe God, they're trying to make the good outweigh the bad, and they know they're going to have to face God. But those that are religious, you know, we lose this thought. I think I've never heard it really dealt on, but people say, "Well, he's a Christian. He says he believes God. He just don't believe like we do." Ishmael was circumcised and claimed to be under the same religion as Isaac, wasn't he? God said, "He's born of flesh. He's not born of me. He's not born of me." Cast him out. And the only reason Ishmael couldn't do more damage to Isaac, there was one reason. His father was in the house and he wouldn't let it happen. And the only reason the Ishmael in your flesh can't do more damage to the Isaac that's in you is your heavenly father's in the house and he won't let it happen. He's going to mortify your flesh. And he does it by constantly reminding you, you're dead to the law. Your old man's crucified. That law's been satisfied. God satisfied his own law. And you've obeyed this from the heart, that form of doctrine that he delivered to you, so that you were made free from sin and you became the servants of righteousness. Get what that means, brethren. Now get what that means. Remember when our Lord told those Pharisees, Pharisaical Jews that had been in the Jews' religion, they came and started following Christ. And he said, if you continue in my doctrine, you'll know the truth, the gospel, and it'll set you free. And they said, we were Abraham's children. We never were in bondage. We're born free. Well, they were children of Ishmael. They just didn't know it. They were Ishmaelites. They didn't know it. They thought they were Isaacs. But they were born of flesh. And our Lord said, he that is the servant of sin, he that commits sin is the servant of sin. We hear that and we think, well, then whoever's committing adultery and whoever's committing murder and whatever, they're the servants of sin. Well, that's true. But those people weren't doing that. You know what they were doing? They were sitting right where you're sitting, hearing the scriptures read, claiming to worship God. And you know what they were doing? They were the servants of sin, committing sin. That's all they were doing. But Christ said, but when you hear the gospel and this doctrine is coming to your heart and your conscience is purged and a new man's created, you're made free from that sin and you become the servants of righteousness, the slaves of righteousness, bound to righteousness. And when the Son makes you free indeed. You'll never again be the servant of sin. And that's true of you, believer, and that's true of your brethren. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And the only way that we get there, now understand this, the yoke of bondage is in the heart. Don't forget that. The yoke of bondage is in the heart. Notice there in verse 3, Paul said, I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he's a debtor to the whole law. But then later, Paul told Timothy, there's no need for you to be circumcised, Timothy. Timothy was a half Jew and a half Gentile. He had not been circumcised. He said, you don't have to be circumcised for religious reasons to make yourself anything to God. But he said, now let's circumcise you because we're going to preach the gospel and I don't want it to be an issue. So circumcision, the outward act of circumcision, wasn't the issue at Galatia, not of itself. What was the issue? It was the heart. It was the motive. It was the reason they were being circumcised. See, Paul circumcised Timothy because his heart was love and his motive was free grace, and he knew circumcision's nothing. Doesn't matter. The outward, whatever's happening outwardly, don't matter. That's just outward. It's the heart that matters. What's in your heart and what's in my heart, that's what matters. Now, these folks here at Galatia, here's where their heart was. Look down at verse 4. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You have left grace and you've entered works. There was their heart's motive. There was their heart's motive. They were wanting to be justified before God. That's why they felt like, okay, I believe Christ. He says I'm righteous, but now these folks are telling me that if I really want to be justified, I need to be circumcised too, because they had always been. And so that was their heart. They were thinking, there's something else I need to do. I need to be justified. But listen to this now. I think even more than that, the reason they were doing it was to be justified before those Jewish brethren. Because here's what they were saying. No, those Jews were saying, now, that's fine to believe on Christ, but if you want to be a true Jew, you're going to have to be circumcised. This is what makes you part of the nation of Israel. And they were doing that to be justified before men. Now, listen, if you do anything to be seen of men, now, in our heart, if our heart is thinking we need to add something to what Christ has done, we're entangled in the yoke of bondage. And if we're doing what we're doing to be seen of men, or because we've been constrained by a man or compelled by a man, we're in the yoke of bondage. If your religion is because some other man is religious and some other man believes this way, and that's your heart's motive, you're in the yoke of bondage. Don't do anything because another man does it. Don't do anything because another man compels you or constrains you. That's a yoke of bondage. And Christ alone can free us from that, brethren. He alone can free us from that. And he has to free us from it. The motive that he gives in the heart is said there down in verse 6. At the end is faith which works by love. When the motive of a man and his watchful eye is your motive. When a man's not present and you'll act one way and you'll be free, and you know, but then when James comes down with his Jewish brethren and you get up from that table and go over and start conforming to them, there's a problem in the heart. When men do, believers do what they do because they're in the company of certain brethren, I'm telling you something, when that watchful eye of a Pharisee is on you, you will conform everything you do to that watchful eye, and that ain't being conformed to Christ. That's being conformed to the yoke of bondage. Only Christ can purge the conscience. Only Christ can make us have the faith and the strength to see we're complete in him. And when he does that, he fills your heart with love so that what you do for him. You do it for him. You might feel like you still need to be circumcised, but you're doing it for him. Or you might feel like you should observe, not eat certain things. You're doing it for him. Paul said in Romans 14, it's not just the outward act that makes a man his or not his. It's what's in his heart. Why is he doing what he's doing? That's the thing, is to be constrained by Christ. Now, in Romans 7, Paul tells us the way he gives us this liberty. He makes you see you're dead to sin first. In Romans 6, to begin, you're dead to sin. You were crucified with Christ. Your old man's dead. You're dead to sin now. Sin will not have dominion over you. Sin's been destroyed in you. You got to know that. Because all we see in ourselves is sin. We got to be made to know before God that sin is destroyed. But here's something else we got to be made to know. Romans 7 opens and he says, you're also dead to the law. Because here's what happens. As soon as you see sin in yourself, this thought comes into your head. I need to do such and such and such and such because of that sin. Now that might appear to some and think that's a good thing. That ain't a good thing. If your motive in your heart is I need to go do such and such work because of this sin, that's being in a yoke of bondage. You're trying to put your sin away. You're trying to deal with your sin. You're trying to make yourself accepted to God because of something you've done. That's not good. What we have to be made to see over and over, our old man is dead, the sin's been dealt with, and the law's been satisfied. So that we're lawfully married to Christ. And just like a husband produces fruit in his bride and brings forth that fruit, the only way you bring forth fruit is not by the law, not by your works, not by man constraining you, not by anything of this earth and this flesh. It's by Christ our husband filling you with the Spirit and giving you fruit, making fruit in you. That's the only way. That's the only way. And he has to come and do this work because you know how easily we get entangled with a yoke of bondage? Brethren, I'm telling you, I know this about myself. My number one sin is prideful self-righteousness. That's number one. When I speak about that and I'm talking about how we got to be saved from that, the first person I'm condemning on that is me because that's my sin. I'm so easily... without even thinking about it, just, they ought not be doing that. And here's what's bad, is we have these thoughts, if he was a believer, he wouldn't be doing that. We commit some sin. Immediately our conscience starts thinking we got to do some work to put it away. We've got to do some work to justify us. And what we're trying to do is soothe our conscience. There's only one way your conscience can be taken care of. Christ has to point you to him to see he's dealt with your sin and his blood purges your conscience to know he saved me. And that breaks your heart. That breaks your heart. That brings you to the dust. That's when you really mourn your sin. That's when you are brokenhearted over your sin. But really, the sin that we have to be, and when that happens, the sin we really have to be mortified from is that sin of turning back to the law. Brethren, we're righteous in Christ, and he has to purge us over and over and over with this, with his blood to keep us knowing that and keep us looking to him and keep our flesh mortified. He has to do it over and over and over. That's why Paul said to the Galatians, I'm travailing till Christ be formed in you. What do you mean? I want to see you purged from this because they were in a yoke of bondage. This is the fruit of liberty and it's all of Christ, brethren. Only he can do it. We come into this bondage when we see our brethren sin or we hear of our brethren sin. And what happens is we become puffed up in our flesh. We start imputing guilt to somebody. You don't make somebody guilty by imputing guilt to them. You can impute an evil motive to them. You don't know their heart. You don't make them have an evil motive by imputing it to them. Somebody can charge you all they want to, brethren. That don't make it so. And you can't do that. But we start condemning, we start putting constraints on brethren. We start thinking, you shouldn't do that, you should do this or whatever. And you know what that does? Here's what it does. Number one, here's what it does. It brings our brethren into bondage. There's no doubt about that. But here's what it also does. You remember the Philippian jailer? His job was to keep the prisoners in prison, in bondage. You know where he lived? He lived in the prison. And if we start trying to bring others in, and we get entangled in the yoke of bondage trying to bring others into bondage, we're in that prison. It's bitterness. You can't have any relief. You can't even hear the gospel. Why? You're in the gall of bitterness. You're in bondage. There ain't but one that can free you from that. And he does it through this message. I'm preaching this message to you in hopes the Spirit will come. And if you're in that bondage, he'll free you from it, because he's the only one that can do it. And he does it through this message. I could tell you, stop it. I could tell you, mortify that flesh in you. I could do all of that to you. You can't do it. Could you free yourself from that bondage in the first hour? Nope. You can't free yourself from it when you come into legal bondage either. Only he can do it. He's the only one that can create this fruit in us. And when he does it, brethren, he really does break your heart. He really does break your heart. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to help each other and truly help our brethren when they're in some sin, or when they're in the gall of bitterness, when they're in this legal spirit of bondage. And they're the same thing. They're just unbelief. They're just the fruit of the flesh. We're going to look at all those works of the flesh. All those works of the flesh, physically, we all understand what they are. But you know, when we come into this entanglement in the yoke of bondage, we're committing every one of those spiritually. We're committing adultery against Christ. We're committing murder. Everything. Every one of them. And they're the same. Sin is sin. And so we have to be freed from that. But the way he's going to do it, in everything he teaches us in dealing with one another, is to deal with one another with a broken and contrite heart. That's the only way we can. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's the only answer God blesses. He doesn't bless the whip. He just doesn't. You know what the whip does? It stirs up strife. It's why I've preached to you for 14 years and said, don't receive an accusation against your brethren. That happened one time in a church I was in, and it got to the point where everybody that received it couldn't hear the gospel. Why? It turned them to their flesh. That's sinful, brethren. That is awful to do. And here's the thing to remember. The preacher that's preaching has this weight on him all the time. I'm responsible for every soul here, and I got to answer to God for you. When you start leading sinners away from Christ, just know their blood's on you. That's a serious thing. That's a serious thing, brethren. But how's God going to use it? How's he going to bless whatever we say to one another? He's going to have to first break our heart. When you come in the dust and you're low, two worms can meet. They can meet. Paul said at the end of Romans 7, this warfare is going to be with us till the day we die. It's going to be. This condemning legal spirit toward ourselves and toward our brethren. It's going to be with us till we die. What's going to free us from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. He's the only one. You're carrying around with you a dead body that is just decaying and dying. That was a Roman torture for somebody that committed a crime. They strapped a dead body on their back and they carried it around with them until it decayed and died. Disintegrated. Think of how awful that would be. Well, you know what it's like, believer, because you're carrying around a dead body. But you see, when he makes you know this in your spirit, true faith and love works by knowing. We don't know men after the flesh anymore. And the more you know your completeness in Christ and know your brethren's completeness in Christ, you're not going to judge your brethren based on the outward. They're one in Christ. And they're complete in Christ. And that will make you deal with your brethren the way God's dealt with you. And remind them of that, because it's this message. Paul's declaring it all through Galatians. This message. Christ was made a curse and freed us from the curse of the law. He has come and we have received the Spirit again, not to bondage to fear. We receive the spirit of adoption. We're not servants anymore. We're children now. And you remind each other of that. You remind your brethren of that. They remind you of that. And this is what the Lord blesses. And that's how he mortifies that legal bondage of spirit, and how he mortifies your sin, whatever other sin it is. That's the only way he does it. He alone can do it. to know you're complete in him. That's why he said, don't let a man judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Those are shadows. The body's Christ. They have a form. They look like there's something about them that's noble, but it's being puffed up in the flesh. When a man starts putting his constraints on you, it's just a form of will worship. It's all it is. It's in you and me, brethren. We're not talking about those people out there. We're talking about the Ishmael in you and me. How's that Ishmael going to be mortified? Christ has to come again and remind you, your body's been crucified, the law's fulfilled, I put a new man in you, and he strengthens that new man, and he mortifies that Ishmael in us. That's the only way. It's the only way we'll be free. And what did Paul, after he gave all of that encouragement to not let anybody beguile you, don't let them trick you of the reward you have in Christ, the freedom and liberty you have in Christ. Don't let them bring you back into bondage. What did he say is going to mortify our flesh? If you're risen with Christ, set your affection on him. If I could do one thing, if I could tell you one thing that's going to help you, and I don't care, I don't even know your situation. I don't even know what particularly is troubling you. I know something, but I don't know what particularly is troubling you. But I can tell you the one cure for it. Set your affection on Christ above, not on things on this earth. Why are you acting like your life's in this world? That's what Paul said. Why are you focusing on touch not, taste not, handle not, accusing and excusing one another? Set your affection on things above. That's where you are. Your life's there. And when he appears, you're going to appear with him in glory. Well, you just going to ignore this sin? No, I'm not. That's the only way it's going to be mortified. See, our flesh don't believe that. The devil in me and you, we got a full-grown devil in us. Those men that came there making accusations against Paul, you know what their motive was? To turn those brethren from the gospel of Christ and make them stop hearing Christ. And it was working. And you know what Paul came and did? He said, turn back and look at Christ. Look to the serpent. That's the only way that one on the cross is the only way the serpents are going to be destroyed and you're going to be saved from being bitten. That's it. And the flesh don't believe that. If you're risen with Christ, seek him. Liberty is having access to the throne of grace, brethren. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to finish here. Liberty's coming to the throne. We have a high priest, and we can come to the throne of grace. Now, when we have that liberty, why do we have it? So we can come there and ask for grace to help in time of need. You see, once we've spoken the truth to one another, we can't make it effectual. We can't mortify the flesh. I can't. Some people turn the gospel into a law and try to make somebody believe it. I can't make you believe it. I can't mortify the flesh in you. How's it going to be mortified? I have to wait on him. I have to go to him and say, Lord, would you bless it? Would you come and bless it? Paul later there, he says, I have confidence, not in you. I have confidence in Christ that he's going to make you hear this. And he's going to mortify your flesh and save you. So we have this liberty. You wouldn't be accepted of God in his holy place if you wasn't as holy as God. He couldn't have nothing to do with you. But in Christ you can. So come to him and ask for him. And he's freed you from the wages of death, brethren. See, it's death. It's death. It's that freedom. It's that being afraid of dying that keeps us in bondage. This is the motivation for most people in religion. They're scared of going to hell. Well, I'm not just scared of going to hell. I want to know Christ. That's what a believer wants to know. Heaven for a believer is Christ, not just an escape from hell. But that's all a man who's scared of death wants. I just want to be saved from hell. But see, there's also this fear of death when we start seeing sin in ourselves and sin in our brethren. We start getting afraid of that. And so what do? We start looking to fleshly means to fix it. We got a liberty. If he's Christ, if my brother's Christ, and he's in this yoke of bondage, whether it be legal or sinful, and I hate to even say it that way, they're both sin. But whatever it is, I know this, the Lord's freed him from death. He's not going to be separated from Christ. So I don't have to, that'll keep my flesh mortified from looking to extra means besides this gospel. I don't care what the problem is, brethren. I don't care what it is. The answer is go to your brethren and remind them of what Christ has done. That's it. It's the only message he blessed to unite you with Christ and with your brethren in the first hour, and that's the only message he'll bless to unite you with Christ and your brethren in any trouble. In any trouble, preach Christ. My pastor, one time, we was in an awful mess, and it was terrible. Now, you couldn't hear. It was, is he preaching to us? Is he preaching to them? I hope they hear that. I hope they hear that. And that's just the devil. That's the yoke of bondage, the entanglement of bondage right there. And you know what my pastor did? He stood in the pulpit and preached Christ. He was the target. And he stood there and preached Christ to us. And you know how God saved us out of it? He blessed that message to our heart. And we finally quit all that bondage and realized it's all him. That's my hope, brethren. That's my hope. I can't change a heart. I can't change a heart. I can't change my heart. Certainly can't change anybody else's. My hope is that I'm preaching this message for everybody I love with all my heart, and I'm hoping they hear it, and I'm hoping God blesses it. It's our only hope. I love you. I want you to hear this. It's why I've been preaching it. It's our only hope. And it's the message Christ to bless. Look there in verse 15. In Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. I'm sorry, Galatians 6:15. Neither circumcision avails nor uncircumcision. You know, I'm sure there was people sitting there that day when Paul said that, when he sent this letter, and they heard it read. There was brethren there that had not submitted to circumcision. They believed Christ, and they had not submitted to circumcision. And I guarantee you there was a thought in their heart. We told you not to submit to that circumcision. That circumcision didn't avail you. We knew that. That's why we didn't submit to it. Paul said, you're not submitting to it didn't avail anything either. That's not what made you just. That's not what made you righteous. Oh, that brother shouldn't have done that sin. What we're saying is I hadn't done that. Well, that didn't make you righteous, you not doing it. And it didn't condemn him doing it. How so? Because in Christ, he's a new creation. In Christ, he is as Christ is, and that has not changed by anything that's been done, good or bad, in our flesh, brethren. The sooner we can get a hold of that, the sooner we can be settled when whatever goes on around us and know that flesh won't be puffed up and try to take matters in their own. He'll keep you humble to know Christ has got this. And it's through the message of him that he's going to continue to mortify and keep his people stayed on him. You get that? What matters is a new creation. What does it mean if I'm crucified to the world and the world's crucified to me? Think about that. You think Don Fortner is worried about anything that takes place in this world right now? Well, if you're right now in this world and you're dead to it and it's dead to you, then what we do shouldn't alter us too much. It shouldn't affect us too much. What our brethren do shouldn't change that too much. Now, I'm not saying sin. If you get that from what I'm saying, and I pray God deliver you from that bondage. What I'm saying is, we have liberty in Christ, and that's not going to change. And if I'm in sin, Christ has dealt with me. And here's the thing. He may have dealt with your brother and brought him to repentance and faith, and you've not been dealt with yet. You still be in a yoke of bondage toward him. And he's already dealt with your brother. He just not come deal with you now. But you see, what he's going to do is we're going to bring us all right down here on the same level at the feet of Christ, looking to our master who alone makes us stand, makes our brethren stand. Lord, whatever you do, be good. That's a good place to be. That's the only place to be. All right, I'm done. I've gone longer than I meant to. All right, brethren. Pray God to bless that.